No matter what people from Texas say, Kenneth Carlson will tell you Massillon, Ohio is the birthplace of football. He moved to Massillon in high school, where he ended up playing for the Massillon Tigers. What's unique about Massillon isn't that they have a football team, it's that the town lives, eats, and breathes football. Carlson chronicles a season with the town's team in the documentary Go Tigers. He told Ann Strangchamps that he was there to witness the way boys born in Massillon are greeted by the community.
This is this year's Booster Club president, Todd Schumacher.
Nice to meet you, Barbara.
Congratulations. I understand that you have a new Tiger here.
Mm-hmm. Name's Drew.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
This is a football from the Booster Club we give out to all the newborn boys born in Massillon. Mm-hmm.
Pedro went off and I rushed over to Massillon Community Hospital where I met the president of the Booster Club and his sidekick. And we marched into a newborn baby boy's room. And there the mother sat wide-eyed and we presented a football to her. They did. And I captured this on tape, and they presented her with a football and welcomed her son into the new world and said, my, he'd be a fine receiver, and we're looking forward to him playing for the Tigers in the near future.
Does this really happen with every baby boy born in Massillon?
It does, and I did not stage that. I literally was on pager, and I raced over when the pager went off, and this is what happens. They have a box of footballs in the hospital, and they race over and put all this together to welcome a newborn baby boy.
So when you grow up, is football pretty much the only sport? I mean, do little boys 6, 7, 9, 10, 12, do they all play football?
This is the shortest answer I'll give, yes. They are expected to play. And when you don't play, I think I showed in the film, you're considered an outcast. Now, certainly we've broadened our horizons a bit there in Massillon, Ohio, and not everyone is expected to play because we're a little more hip to what other kids might want. And, you know, in this day and age of the internet and video games, people aren't expected to play as much. But that's what it was when I grew up there, and pretty much is the way it is today.
You're completely ostracized from all of your peers if you're not part of the football, unless they share your views. People aren't willing to accept you unless you're like them. You have to conform or be destroyed. I'm out of here when I turn 18. This town is bullcrap. It's just sad.
It is sort of extraordinary watching your film to see how much the adults in this town care about football and how much football is completely wound into every part of public life. I mean, there's a scene, I'm thinking of the scene in the funeral parlor, for instance, when the funeral parlor director shows that they've even got a Tiger's casket.
Sure. I mean, that's the cradle-to-grave concept. You know, you're born in Massillon with a football in your bassinet, and you have an opportunity when you die to be laid to rest in a casket that has Paul Brown on it, Obi the Tiger, the mascot. You know, you can be laid to rest in orange and black jersey or a tie, you know, and a blazer. And your headstone can have Obi on it or the years that you played. And they've got a whole, that funeral home itself has a Tiger room. And you walk into this, the calling hours room where people are, you know, grieving their loved ones passing on. And you hear in the background the Tiger fight song, Tiger Rag. And that is from a welcome mat. When you walk into this Tiger room, it plays, you know, and you can literally go in and look through files and find out if you are or your loved one was related to a Tiger. And there's Tiger orange everywhere in this funeral home, in this room. So it's,
We have this casket customized, making it the Massillon Tiger casket with the Obies all the way around on all of the hardware. It's painted the Massillon Tiger colors, and also in the panel, this is an insert panel of Obi. Okay, this is Obi, which is the mascot for Massillon. The panel can come out. When the person is buried, it can be framed and kept at home as a keepsake.
Tell me about the year you followed the Tigers. I mean, that the film kind of follows an especially good season that they had.
Well, the Massillon Tigers came off of a 4-6 season in 1998, so I thought it'd be a great year to follow this team because it's very unusual to have a losing season in this town. And finally, I met with a couple kids that really sparked my interest. I had Danny Studer, who was the cradle-to-grave concept, the legacy, the third-generation player that wore number 55, you know, so I knew I had that. His father was a coach of the school. Then I had David. He was a partier and would take us out to the, you know, the scene and go dragging along the main strip in Massillon. And he was also, I thought, going to be the star of the team, the prima donna. So I followed him. That's two. And then when I met Ellery Moore, who flat out told me, you know, I was in jail for 15 months, doing time. When I got out, I was stealing cars, doing drugs. And the football coaches got a hold of me and put me on the field, worked me out. And I have to honestly say, football saved my life. Hmm. Well, I knew right then and there that I had the narrative that I was looking for. The town had failed 3 years in a row to support a levy to keep the school doors open. So I found out as well that for 3 years running, they had lost to their arch rivals, the McKinley Bulldogs, the final game of the season that usually holds anywhere from 25 to 30,000 people. And I thought, is it possible that the win or loss of this football game determines the education of the city's children? Is that possible? So, but 3 years running, they failed the levy. 3 years running, they lost the McKinley Bulldogs. Where's the hope?
What people in this town might say or what they really feel is that that football team gives them hope. They were tired. They were upset. They were frustrated. They didn't want to vote for the levy because what hope did they have? We were 4-6. You know what I mean? There's no happiness there. It's all anger.
You got some amazing shots inside the locker room during halftime. And
yeah,
one of the things that's really amazing in those is just how closely religion is tied up with football. I mean, how do those two fit together in Massillon?
Well, you're asking a good person about that. My father's a minister, and was a minister in Massillon. And one of the greatest obstacles he had was to overcome the religion of football and to try to get people in seats on Sunday mornings. Why can't I get people in the pews like we can get people in the bleachers? It's a reality there. Because it's such a religion, you know, it was tough for some of the organized religions, if you will, to compete. But you probably can draw some of your own conclusions from the film. I have a great scene that intercuts the Lord's Prayer with these kids, you know, getting pumped up to go out and fight this war on the field.
So it's time to take that anger out, right? Right. Time to take that anger out, okay? We play safe because we go hard, okay? Our Father,
Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
On earth as it is in heaven.
And then as soon as they break this prayer, you know, one of the kids said, you know, uses profanity and wants to go out and kill somebody, you know?
The season you profiled in your film is a season, there's a lot riding on this particular season. We touched on the school levy that clearly is going to pass or fail, depending on whether the team can manage to beat the McKinley Bulldogs. In your film, they win. And in fact, the levy passes.
Oh, now you ruined it for everyone.
Sorry. But what happens to Massillon in the years when the team doesn't win, when there's not a good season?
That doesn't happen. No, it does happen, and when it does happen, that's one of the sections of the film that I pulled out that I really was fascinated by. It was called the Hero and Goat Glory Days section of the film, and it kind of profiled some of the people that have graduated from Massillon and had hero status while they were there and moved on and done great things or not such great things, but yet are still considered legends in Massillon and can go into any bar and saddle up and get a beer, and their money's not good anywhere. I mean, they can't buy any, you know, anything because they're still, you know, they have legendary status. So they are still held up on a pedestal. And then there's the goats, the guys that missed that last minute field goal in 1973, and they are, God's honest truth, still not welcomed in many parts of that town. Yeah. So it's I mean, it seems obnoxious to speak that way, but you know, it's a bit of an exaggeration that they're not welcome anywhere, but yet they're still, you know, they walk down the street and people are like, oh, I remember back in 73 against, you know, the, you know, Alliance Aviators when we missed the, you know, it's true. It's and but the ones like Chris Spielman that graduated from Massillon, went on and was an All-American Ohio State, and then moved on to play for Detroit and for Buffalo, and then for a little bit for the Cleveland Browns. He's a legend, you know, and he goes back there, and you know, they have major fanfare and big parades for him, you know, and it's a unique town because they focus so much on this, and anything that stems from it is held up in high esteem, and if it's not a part of it, then it's kind of looked down upon.
There is indeed much to cheer about, much to blow their horns about in Massillon, Ohio. For here, football is king, and everyone pays it homage in America's number one touchdown town.
Touchdown, Massillon!
Kenneth Carlson is the director of the documentary Go Tigers. Ann Strangchamp spoke with him.